or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore.
Well, good morning, church. Why don't you open up your Bibles to that Psalm, Psalm 131. That would be great. And I'm going to set up myself here so that this is hopefully going to work. Psalm 131. And we're talking about finding the peace that surpasses understanding. Finding the peace that surpasses understanding. I'm going to read Psalm 131 again, just from the English Standard Version, which is the version I'm going to use today in my message. The wording is slightly different, but follow with me. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 131 is one of the shortest of the Psalms with only three verses. It's only one verse longer than the shortest Psalm, which is Psalm 117, with two verses, right? But in only three verses, this Psalm quite possibly captures the heart of what peace in God looks and feels like, probably more than any other. Written by King David about 3,000 years ago, we're given access really to the intimate inner life of someone described by God as a man after God's heart. Someone who's learnt composure, calm, quiet on the inside. Look at verse 2. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. When Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, this is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. Psalm 131. Jesus wants us to know, to feel, to live in his peace. It's a bit like what Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 4 and from verse 5 when he says, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful, isn't it? This peace that the scriptures are pointing to, that Jesus is offering us. But this really is a challenge, isn't it? Because if we're honest, so often our inner lives are anything but quiet. They are very, very noisy, right? Busy, busy, busy. Thoughts flicking from one to another and then back again. Finding ourselves feeling like we're on edge, becoming obsessive about things at times, feeling this need to achieve, offense rising up quickly within us sometimes, the fear of failure, fear of being out of control, anxiety spinning, corrosive regrets, irritated, worried, sometimes feelings of hopelessness. So often our inner lives look anything but quiet. What is your inner life like today? Are you quiet inside? Maybe as you've been listening to this, you're thinking, gosh, is there any hope for me? Right? Well, I want to say, yes, there is. Yes, there is. Psalm 131 not only shows us what peace in God is and how to get it, but it also makes the point that it is something that we must grow in. It's something that we can learn. A bit like the way a child learns to eat solid foods. The way a child is weaned off their mother's breast. The child learns and finds peace, right? And so can we. So there are 3 points I want us to see today as we reflect on Psalm 131 and what it means to find the peace that surpasses understanding. And then a few points of practical application at the end. So 3 points. Firstly, the source of the noise. Where does the noise come from? Secondly, the weaning process. And then thirdly, finding what you're looking for, finding that peace. So let's look firstly then at the source of the noise. That's in verse 1. Here's the thing. We are our biggest problem. The source of our noise is from within us. It's our pride. David speaks to this directly. He does so by specifically pointing out what it is about himself that he's turned away from. 3 specific things he mentions. Look at verse 1 there. And I've noted them there. 3 things for you to see. He says, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. These are the things he's turning away from. So in other words, he's saying, naturally, my heart is lifted up. I'm proud. I'm self-absorbed. My eyes are haughty, which means to be looking down on other people. It means naturally I do chase after things that are beyond me. I pursue impossibilities. And so I'm wondering, can you start to see where the noise comes from? And so first, when our hearts are lifted up, when we're self-absorbed, our lives are all about me, right? All about me, what I want and when I want it. That's the thing that's filling our minds. That's the noise. But we're not quite honest like that with ourselves. We don't use that kind of language. We don't say to ourselves, yeah, it's all about me. We don't say that. We say things like this. I deserve a little more appreciation. We say things like, why don't they give me the recognition I deserve? We say things like, I don't want much really, just a bit better health, a little more money, nicer clothes, a bit more success. Then I'll be happy. We say things like, I just want to feel good. Surely that's not too demanding. Doesn't God want me to feel good? See what's going on. It's all me, me, me. What I want, what I deserve. It's self-absorption. And it makes our lives very noisy. Because when that's the thing, that's the word, that's the self-speak that's going on inside of us, now we start becoming sensitive to being offended for not getting that recognition or appreciation that we think we deserve. We become sensitive to it. We're so busy now comparing ourselves with others. Why did they get what I thought I deserved? And then there's anxiety, then there's fear, there's resentment, then there's anger. Noise. Do you see that? And this pride, this self-absorption, is not only about me, it's also about how I see you. It's also about others. That's the second source of the noise. He says, my eyes are not haughty. Haughty means to be looking down on others. It's very difficult to have a stable and healthy friendship when pride, self-absorption, is controlling your heart. You're difficult to be around, really. You don't trust anyone. You're not vulnerable. You hear this thing about partners in prayer, and all you're thinking is, my goodness, that's definitely not for me. You're always above everyone else. Not only this, but there tends to be only really for you 2 kinds of people in your eyes, sort of those you admire and almost worship, and then those who you look down on. There's no one who's really your equal. Haughty eyes makes life inside very noisy. And then the third source of this inner noise is chasing impossibilities. You know, David says, I don't occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. He's not talking about kind of resigning yourself into passivity and not doing anything, not at all. But this is really about trying to control the uncontrollable. Let me ask you something. What are you really in control of? Think about your life. What are you really in control of? Very little, actually. We have a measure of control over some things. We can mostly control our actions to a certain extent. Perhaps even our thoughts to some extent. What about our emotions? A little bit. And I've just started with the things that we have the greatest degree of control over, right? And even that, not very much, especially when we consider the world outside of us. In fact, we have very little control. David Powlison, in his excellent paper on this psalm, he says this, and I'll quote you. He says, "From your daily bread to your abilities and opportunities, these are gifts from God that you don't control." What happens when you attempt to control another person's attitudes and choices? Well, you set yourself up for despair or rage, anxiety or short-lived euphoria, suspicion or manipulation. What happens when you attempt to ensure that you will not get sick and die? You become obsessed with diet and exercise, or litigious towards doctors, or plagued with fear that any nagging pain might be the one that finally gets you. What happens when you're obsessed with getting people to like you? You become flirtatious or artificial, a coward or a deceiver, a chameleon or a recluse. You're chasing impossibilities. Trying to control the uncontrollable makes life inside very, very noisy. See, when we pursue things we're not meant to pursue, we create noise. When we look down on others with proud eyes, we create noise. When we're self-absorbed, noise. See, what the psalm is revealing, and in fact what all through the scriptures testifies to, is that we are our biggest problem. David really does capture this inner noise so well, doesn't he? With the picture of the fretting child and the distress. And he paints the picture of a nursing child on their mother's lap in the psalm. And every mother knows this, right? I watched this with all three of my kids. You know, and every mother's, I'm sure, is the same. You know, the child is hungry, they're fussing, mum's ready, right? It's like she's saying, "Here it is." Getting them on the lap. I had to be really careful about my Google searches here. She's trying to get them into position on the lap, but they're so busy fussing, they don't latch. They're moaning and fretting and squealing and writhing. They're their own biggest problem, right? It's a striking picture. And you know, folks, we can be just like that with God. Our pride, our self-absorption, our haughty eyes and chasing impossibilities, creating noise and fuss and anxiety and anger. And the Lord is saying, "This is what you need. Here it is." But we can't see it. Can't see it. We don't latch. So what needs to happen? Friends, we need to be weaned. That's what the psalm is saying. We need to be weaned. That's the weaning process. This is about humility. Look at verse 2. David writes, "I have calmed," or composed, "and quieted my soul." The word for calmed is also translated composed. It literally means to level. It's to level it. If you can imagine a bulldozer leveling things in your heart, that's the picture here. And some of us need really big bulldozers. So I figured I'd get one out there for you to look at. To compose, to quieten our hearts requires us to be bulldozing the mountains of glory that we're climbing up in our hearts. To bulldoze the skyscrapers of achievement that we're so busy building and constructing for our own glory. It's to bulldoze the precious trinkets and trophies and shiny things that capture our attention and our affections. David says, "I've composed and quieted my soul. I have leveled it." It's something conscious. It's something he's chosen to do. It's his action, right? But how? How does a proud heart become humble? Now, one of the mistakes is by thinking that I'll do it, right? By beating down on myself. I will be humble. Here's the thing. You can't bulldoze prideful self-will with more prideful self-will. We need help from outside. The way a drowning person needs help. We need help from someone else, a rescuer. We need to ask for help. And here's the thing. When we do go after the right things, we will find what we're looking for. Jesus said in our gospel reading today, in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, he said, "I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You see, the answer to how does a proud heart become humble is another question. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? Think about that for your life. What are you seeking? You see, we'll find what we're seeking when we seek for the right things, when we seek the Lord. And that's the third point, finding what we're looking for. Look at verse 2 and 3. It says, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. The picture of a weaned child at peace is contrasted with that earlier hungry child, right? The weaned child is a little bit older. It has learnt to eat solid foods. And having learnt to eat the solid foods, the child is now at peace in their mother's arms. There's been a process. It's the weaning process. And the child has changed. It was like that, now it's like this. Friends, the solid food, the food and drink that we really need, that will quieten the noise and bring us peace, is nothing other than Jesus Christ. He is the food and the drink that we need. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And in verse 55 of chapter 6, he says, for my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. You see, Jesus is saying, myself, my life, my death and resurrection for you, that is your food. It's what you need for life and for peace with God within you and peace with others. You see, friends, we need to be weaned from our pride, which manifests in self-absorption and haughty eyes and pursuing impossibilities, to trusting Jesus and being absorbed with him, with our eyes on him and pursuing and following Jesus. That's what we need. Like a weaned child is my soul within me, says David. We are being invited to imagine. I want you to imagine for a moment what it would look like for your soul to be that child within you. What would that look like for you? For your soul to be that weaned child within you, quiet and at rest. See, what are you seeking? I want to close with a few points of just practical application for us, because we need to put this into practice, don't we? We can talk about it, but how do we do it? How do we put Psalm 131 into practice? How do we do this weaning from the noise and grow in the peace that Jesus gives, the peace that surpasses understanding? Well, the first, folks, is that we need to recognize that we need to be weaned from trusting ourselves to trusting Jesus. Can you see that in your heart and life? The problem with pride and the problem with sin is that it deceives us. We're blind to it half the time. Sometimes we need someone else to tell us, and maybe they have already and you've been ignoring them, right? We need to recognize our need to be weaned from trusting ourselves to trusting Jesus. And we've got to ask Jesus to come and to bring his lordship and his rule into every part of our lives and into our hearts. There's a sense where we need to release our hands from trying to control the uncontrollable, from trying to have things the way we want them, our self-absorption, our haughty eyes, and pursuing impossibilities. We need to release, open our hands. We need to ask him to come and ask him to rule by his Spirit, to be our Lord and Savior in every part of us, to fill us. We need to ask him. Remembering Jesus' promise that we heard in the gospel today in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. It says this, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We need to ask. Recognize our need and ask. And I want to share with you, and I'll close with this, just three practical things that you and I can do this week to make room for more humility in our lives, more peace of Jesus to grow, to be pushing back against that pride. And I got this from Dallas Willard, a great Christian teacher in the church. Here's the first one. Stop pretending. This coming week, make it your goal, make it your conscious goal, even your prayer every day, to stop pretending. Stop pretending you're all together and that you've got all the answers. Stop pretending to be in control. Stop masking. Stop pretending to be what you think other people want you to be for their approval. Just stop pretending this week. Just give some thought to that, just for 1 week. Stop pretending. That's number one. Number two, stop presuming. Stop presuming how people should treat you. Stop the entitlement, the expectation. Just be you this week. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. Be considerate. Be respectful. Just think of others. Stop presuming this week. And then finally, stop pushing. Stop pushing. Stop trying to manipulate outcomes. Stop trying to make sure you get what you want when you want it. Stand firm, of course, in what is right. Do the right thing. Stand in the Lord. But stop this pushing, this relentless pushing. Rest in the Lord's timing and the outcome that He determines for you, because He's doing the work. So those three things this week. Stop pretending. Stop presuming. Stop pushing. Learn to trust Him. Wean yourself with little small steps, right? Each day. Small steps. And with each step, we will become more and more accustomed to the deeply satisfying, solid food of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives, His very self. Let me conclude. I wonder, what is your inner life like this morning? Are you quiet inside? Or are you very, very noisy? Is there hope? Yes, there is. Jesus said these wonderful words, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." He could just as well as be saying, "Come to me, all of you who are tired of the noise, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace." So let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the peace that surpasses understanding. Lord Jesus, we come to you. Come, Lord Jesus, and rule our noisy, restless, and anxious hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, teach us to trust you. Teach us to bulldoze the prideful mountains, skyscrapers, and shiny things of our self-seeking, of our haughty eyes, and chasing impossibilities. Quieten the noise. Help us this week, Lord, to stop pretending, stop presuming, and stop pushing. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord Jesus, today. Amen.